August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 20 for April 22nd, 2012. I'm Harley Commons.
I'm Melina Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
We are on our lucky number 20. Over two decades of quality programming. Congratulations.
Oh my god.
I know. Let's jump straight into the news this week. The first news story is that The Hunger Games was on number one at the box office for 26 days, which is the longest streak since 1999, when it was held by The Sixth Sense. So, that's like, we've heard all these records breaking, but like, this one is especially cool, because it's like, it's consistently been, like, every day, not even every weekend. So, April, what's the next news story?
The next news story is that The Hunger Games has surpassed $500 million in a global box office. So, of that $500 million, the film has made $335.7 million in the United States alone.
Another good box office update. Elena, what's the next news story?
The next news story is that the first Hunger Games fan convention will be held June 23rd and 24th in Chicago at the Weston O'Hare Hotel. And so far, four stars have been announced to be attending. Willow Shields, which is Primrose, Amanda Stanberg, and Jacqueline Emerson, and Deo Okanayi. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. So that's Prim, Rue, Foxface, and Thresh. So...
yeah, so would there be any chance that you guys would go to Chicago for this?
Well, I'm going to Chicago, like, 2 months later for LeakyCon, and can't go 2 months early because I'm already spending all my money on that. I wish this was, like,
at the
August
same time.
23rd. Then it would be perfect.
I think the only way I'd be inclined to go if Jennifer was there... did I guys tell you what happened when they came to Seattle?
No.
For the mall tour?
So
I was planning to go there on time, but then I look at like this the news website I follow. People were lining up there unofficially at like 4 a.m. and the thing started at like 4 p.m.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm just like, Jennifer, no. So I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Very sad. Yeah. That's all the news story for today. There, of course, is a huge news story about the directorship. You may have or may not have picked this up, you know, just not that crucial, but we'll talk about that later in the show. So now we're going to move into emails and comments. Be sure to email in your thoughts to comments at rebellionradiopodcast.com. Elena, why don't you read off the first email?
All right, the first email is from Brianna, and she says, "Hi, when I listened to your last episode, when you said that you would not be podcasting anymore, I was like, no! Then when you said April Fools, I was like, phew. My friend has the Girl on Fire game on her iPod, and I played it, and it is a bit boring because there's not much to it, but it's okay. I really hope that Gary Ross returns for Catching Fire. This is my favorite book in the trilogy, and I don't want it to be done too differently from The Hunger Games. I like Abraham's Daughter, The Ruler and the Killer, and Eyes Open, and Rue's theme. I think that Rue's whistle is enough of a theme song. You guys rock. From Bree in New Zealand."
Just listen to the last episode for our thoughts about the score. But Gary Ross is not going to be returning for Catching Fire. I guess I was going to reveal that later. But Brianna did not like it. She says the Catching Fire is the favorite book in the trilogy. Is it for you guys too?
I think I like The Hunger Games best, and then I like Catching Fire as a super close second, and then Mockingjay is like, eh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I actually like the... okay, Hunger Games is always going to be the best. I actually like Catching Fire the least, because it's basically The Hunger Games first of all, it's the Hunger Games with politics, like, politics slapped on the front, which is fine, but it's kind of boring, and then it's just the Hunger Games repeated in a new environment, and then they break out. Spoiler alert. But, like, Mockingjay was different, so I like that. April, what about you?
Well, I never really thought about it, honestly. But thinking
you didn't?
I never have.
But I love ranking things.
Thinking about it now, I think you guys are probably gonna hate me, but I like Mockingjay the most. I think because
interesting.
Because it kind of ends it all, and I loved the epilogue. And
really.
And how it ended, even though Katniss is like a whiny little girl most of the time, the parts where she wasn't a whiny little girl were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm with you. I think I like Catching Fire the least.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody say they like Mockingjay the best.
Okay, well, it's a close thing. Like it's almost, like, The Hunger Games, the first one is almost there. And then, like, it's a really close first
it's
and
a close
second.
Race. Yeah, okay. Huh. Interesting. Okay, so the next email is from Carly, and she says, "Hey, Rebels. Well, I recently watched the movie, and it was really great. I just hate that they didn't mention the Ivoxes or PETA and Katniss's injuries. I mean, PETA's limp is important, and Katniss's one deaf ear, too. Well, in Catching Fire, at least. But Katniss's breakdown after Rue's death definitely made her more likable. It's really weird, but usually when I read a book and watch the movie after it, I get really mad at the director, because the stories are so different, or even if only minor details are changed. But with The Hunger Games, I actually like some of the changes. I'm so sad Gary Ross is not going to be directing Catching Fire. He did such a great job on The Hunger Games. Hopefully the next one will be okay. Keep on fighting and rebelling and doing Rebellion Radio. Carly." Thank you for that, Carly. So, April, why don't you take the last email from Emma?
Okay, well, Emma says, "Some potentially depressing news. The Hunger Games is basically a ripoff. I'm sorry, it hurts me to say this, but it's true. About 10 years ago, a book was published following a nearly identical plot and premise with kids stuck in an enclosed arena and being forced to fight to the death. There was one main male antagonist and one main female antagonist, as well as a few protagonists. The book is called Battle Royale. It was written and published in Japan with a film adaptation that never really took off in the US due to its extreme violence. There is also a manga adaptation of the book. Although I'm still an avid Hunger Games fan, I'm disappointed that the idea of the Hunger Games was not as original as we previously thought."
Okay, so this issue has been existent ever since the Hunger Games came out, and that is Battle Royale. And have we talked about this on the show? I feel like
I don't think so, but I have heard a lot of people talk about it before.
I've seen it all over Tumblr, like, everywhere.
Well, yeah, everyone talks about this, and I think our discussion on this is long overdue, but Battle Royale, basically kind of the same thing. Kids go into the arena, they kill themselves, and it's just a lot more violent. So here's what I think about it. I think it's definitely kind of... It looks bad, you know, it looks like, oh, she ripped this off, but first of all, I'm not sure if this is true, but I kind of believe her. Suzanne Collins says she's never heard of Battle Royale before she wrote the book. And I don't think Battle Royale has this, like copyright on the idea of an arena, you know? Like, it's not like they're the only ones that could do this idea, but I do kind of agree that The Hunger Games was not as original as we previously thought, as Emma said. I mean, I think it is original, but if you were thinking that the premise of this whole thing was completely unique, you know, it borrows from other things. April, what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, I never really, like, read or heard of Battle Royale, but if Suzanne Collins says that she never, like, heard of it, then I would believe her, because I'm sure it... Well, when she said that when she thought of it, she was watching TV, so I don't really think that she just read Battle Royale.
Yeah, I really
Japanese.
I think it really comes from, what was it, the Colosseum and all that, you know, the Romans and that kind of inspiration.
Yeah.
But these things are so similar that it's been a big controversy. Elena, what about you? Do you think it's like this huge ripoff, or?
I can see how people would think it was a coincidence, because they sound, like, very similar. I haven't seen the movie or read the book or anything. I don't think that she ripped it off or she was copying it. I think it was just, I hate to say it, but it doesn't sound like The Hunger Games, the book and the concept, it doesn't sound like it's that original of an idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think everyone thought it was at first, but, you know.
But, like, it comes up a lot in, like, not just, like, in books today, but also, like, in, where Suzanne Collins got the idea, like, the story of Theseus and the Minotaur and the Labyrinth, and just a few other things, like, that it's a kind of an idea that's not completely revolutionary, like, people have heard of the general idea, you know?
Yeah. So I think it's just expectations, like, what people expected of the story. But Battle Royale, I've heard it's really good, it's really popular in Japan, at least, and it's on my Netflix queue, really, I want to watch it soon, so. And the book, of course. But, yes, thank you for your emails and comments, email in. And that does it for that segment. So now let's move into the main discussion that everyone wants to talk about, and that is there is a new director in town. Gary Ross, unfortunately, is out, as we, you know, talked about the rumors last week, and Francis Lawrence is in. So, April, in one word, how do you describe this change for you?
Cool, because I'm not really into directors. As long as they do a good job, that's all I care about.
Okay, Elena.
I'm not very happy about it. I mean, it's not that, Lawrence, what's his first name?
Francis
Lawrence. It's not that he's a bad director. I've seen, Water for Elephants, and I liked Water for Elephants. I really liked it, but like we said last week, don't want there to be a change of pace, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've only seen a couple of his movies, so I haven't seen all of them or anything, but, from what I can tell, like, from The Hunger Games to his movies, it doesn't seem like they're very similar, and every director has, like, a different take and perspective.
Sure.
And sometimes that's good, but I think in this case it would be bad, because Gary Ross did such a good job, and I think that changing it is just going to be, like, so weird, and I won't like it to be changed, you know? I want it to be the same kind of theme, sort of, I guess.
Right, yeah. I mean, okay, let's start off with a little bit of background. This fact kind of worries me, but Francis Lawrence has directed 3 films, which seems kind of low, but they are Constantine from 2005. It's about, demons and, let's see... the film portrays John Constantine as a cynic with the ability to perceive and communicate with half-angels and half-demons. Okay, so there's that. And then also he directed I Am Legend, which is a post-apocalypse zombie movie that stars Will Smith, and that was 2007. And then, as Elena says, Water for Elephants is a sort of romantic comedy. No.
No, not romantic drama. It's, yeah.
It's a romance.
It's based on a book. It's actually a book adaption.
So. Right, based on a book. And so is I Am Legend. So he has done adaptions. So on Rotten Tomatoes, just some more background. Constantine got pretty bad. Water for Elephants was, like, okay at 60%. And then I Am Legend got pretty good at, like, 80%. So he's been all over the map with his, like, genres, which I think is interesting. But as you said, I think the big issue for me was, like, the continuity. I mean... The Hunger Games had this really, like, special kind of spot of, like, this huge franchise, but with a small amount of movies, you know, relatively small.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
3 or 4, if they choose to go with 4. So they had that, like, rare opportunity to keep the director on for the entire series. Like, Lord of the Rings, you know, that turned out amazing with one director. But Gary Ross is out because of scheduling, and that's the other thing that worries me, because Gary Ross goes, the schedule was too... tight, so I felt I couldn't work with it. I'm like, Gary, if you can't do it, nobody else can do it then. Because, yeah, I mean,
look at the movie, it's doing great, and I mean, I know it must not be easy necessarily to work with everything, but I mean, look how it turned out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like everyone hates him and is like, oh, should I return? It's like, everyone loves... I guess you don't want to spend, like, 3 movies of your life with the same thing.
Yeah, you know? But it is The Hunger Games. It's not like it's some tiny little movie that no one's going to remember.
Yeah.
See, it kind of annoys me that he goes, oh, the scheduling was too tight, like, I couldn't work with it.
That
really annoys me, because it's like, if he really wanted to do it, he would have, like, been like, I can work with this, let's try and figure something out. thing.
Yeah, it's not like the schedule's going to change now that he's gone.
Yeah. I heard that he actually left, that was his, official reason that he left, but I heard that it was because of salary.
I also heard that, too, in the early stages. I mean, in his official release, he's like, I love the fans, thank you for your support. But I heard before that negotiations were about salary.
But it's the Hunger Games. It's making over $500 million.
Yeah, but I mean, most of that money goes to Lionsgate. It doesn't necessarily go to the directors or the actors. Yeah, I think they get paid, a base salary.
Well, yeah, they get paid before all the...
He's got to make, a good amount of money, It can't be too low.
It's not shabby, but if it was salary, I don't really know what to think. I mean, that was sort of kind of a rumor, but let's talk about Francis Lawrence. I think we can all agree that Gary being gone is a sad day, but let's talk about Francis Lawrence. How do you, Elena? You said you saw Water for Elephants. I guess the one thing we can talk about there is the romance. Was that romance handled in a way that...
Honestly, I didn't really like the story very much. I didn't read the book, but I know a lot of people who did. And I think I heard that they did... I might be wrong. I think I heard that they did a decent job on it. What I really loved about that movie was the way they portrayed, the time period that it was in.
Okay.
I think it was in the... What was it? It was, the 30s or the 40s, I think. And it was really, the cinematography, but just, the atmosphere of the film, I really liked it, and that's what I really liked about the movie. The actual story, I didn't really care for. It was kind of, I didn't like it very much. So the actual love story was kind of weird, I guess. I didn't like it all that much. But that was just a matter of the story. It wasn't a matter of, the directing, I don't think.
Let's talk about I Am Legend. Have you guys seen any, have either of you guys seen this?
No.
Okay, I have to say, I Am Legend actually is an incredible movie. I mean, when I first saw it, I actually own it. It's really, really, really well done. The directing is really pretty great. The acting is amazing. I recommend it, to watch it. The only reason it stands at 70% on Rotten Tomatoes is because of the special effects, which were kind of scaled down because of budget, but I imagine that could easily be fixed with the Catching Fire's budget. I don't think that's a problem, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's done this I Am Legend, which is also a dystopia, which is interesting, and it's also a book adaptation. So if he does something that's kind of at the same caliber as this, I mean, they don't seem like the same feel of the stories, but I feel I think it could work, because I just love I Am Legend so much. And it really, tackles some things that maybe Gary Ross didn't do. Feel something was missing maybe with the how intense it was, because I feel like Hunger Games was kind of a soft PG-13. Am I the only one that thinks that? How much it just showed?
No, I think it was definitely, it could have been R.
Really? From if they, left stuff in?
Yeah, I think it would have been more a hard PG-13, because, I mean, think about other movies that are PG-13. Think about, Half-Blood Prince. It got rated as PG, but it should have been PG-13.
No, there's nothing in that.
But, okay, I'm trying to think. Oh, sorry, okay, I'm getting really confused with other ratings. I think it was okay, but I think it, I wouldn't say it's a soft PG-13, though.
It's kind of a middle ground PG-13.
Yeah, I think PG-13 was fine.
Okay.
But had they added a little bit more, it definitely could have been R if they had tried to, I guess.
Yeah, I think they were kind of playing it a little safe.
Yeah.
With the violence. And I think Francis Lawrence, see, as much as I'm disappointed that Gary's gone, I'm kind of excited to see what Francis will do, because it'll be a kind of a whole new take, but then again, it's like, it won't fit the same thing as the first one, so I'm mixed. But, Constantine, have any of you guys seen this?
No.
yeah, it got 46% on Rotten Tomatoes, so not the best, but oh well. Alex should have been on this. He's on some trip somewhere, but yeah, we'll get his thoughts next episode. So, yeah, email in. telling us what you think about the director change, if you've seen I Am Legend or Water for Elephants or Constantine maybe, and let us know. Now we're going to move on to In the Arena, and this is the segment in which we put two Hunger Games characters against each other and argue for who would win. The last In the Arena was a couple episodes back, and that was a fight between President Coin, April and Elena, and President Snow, Hurley and Alex. Hurley is me, if you haven't known. And the winner is, drumroll please, President Snow, Hurley and Alex.
Boo.
Yay. Okay, so with 112 votes total, Snow got 63 votes, or 56%, and Coin only got 49 votes, or 43%. So, that's that. I think, as much as I suck at trivia, I do have a pretty good In the Arena track record. The people have spoken, guys. You can't really argue with that.
The people are wrong.
Yeah, the people are wrong.
This is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship.
All right, so this week we have a fight between Joanna and Katniss, and I call Katniss.
Okay.
April will moderate, by the way.
Yeah. Let me get my timer. You get 1 minute. For each side.
Wait, who goes first? Who goes first?
I say Hurley goes first.
Okay, right. Hurley goes first. Ready, go.
Okay, so Katniss obviously is a major BA. She'll just whip out her arrows and shoot Joanna in the eye, and then she will pull another arrow and shoot her in the other eye, and then she'll shoot her in the mouth. So that's the end of that. I think Katniss just is more strategic. Joanna is very hot-headed. That's her flaw. And she's always like, oh yeah, I'm so spunky. That's her deal. But Katniss is very cool. She can think in tough situations. Obviously, we've seen her do that throughout the whole book. This is no surprise. No decision. Everyone vote Katniss for 2012. That's all I have to say.
What?
You have 19 seconds.
Yeah, just absolve that time.
Okay, so Elena gets an extra 19 seconds.
No, she just gets her own 1 minute. That's it.
All right, so Joanna, however you pronounce her name, I think she would win because, well, first of all, you have to look at in Catching Fire, if you have to remember, she, like, pounces Katniss and then, like, rips this thingy out of her arm, the tracker thingy, and she, like, has Katniss down in, like, 10 seconds, like, a second. It's, like, not even a chance of Katniss winning because Joanna just, like, has her from the very start. So I think that's, like, the main, most obvious reason. But also, Joanna's very vengeful. Like, she's very motivated by revenge, and I guess that's what really makes her want to, I don't know, kill people and stuff. Also, she has a lot more experience with the Capitol. Like, she knows a lot more than Katniss does, because Katniss has only really, like, seen what exactly it is the Capitol can do. Like, that doesn't sound right. You know what I mean? Like, Katniss... Okay, what am I saying? Okay, so Joanna already... I don't know what I'm saying. Joanna... Ah!
Okay, so no brain, rebuttals?
Okay, so...
Let's go 30-second rebuttal.
Yes, 30-second rebuttal. Ow. Ready, set, go.
Okay, so Joanna helped Katniss. All right, though we can use that as a reason. No, I mean... She pounced on her, but Katniss, I mean, okay, I don't know what to say to that, actually. As to Joanna having more knowledge of the Capitol, that doesn't matter in the fight. In the fight, it's all about strategy and tactics and who gets there first. And Joanna is vengeful. Well, she doesn't have anything to be vengeful for Katniss against, so she... Oh, 30 seconds, forgot about that.
Yep.
Okay.
Elena's turn.
Okay, so I'm going to finish what I tried to say. So she knows a lot more about the Capitol because she already won. And also, I think that it doesn't really matter whether or not, like, Joanna, it's not only revenge, but also just, like, passion about getting what she wants, and she's really crazy like that. So, yeah. And I'm done because, yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
So, I don't like being the only person on my team.
I miss Alex.
I know.
As awkward as he is. Just kidding, Alex, if you're hearing this. So that does it for In the Arena. Vote on our site poll. Go to RebellionRadioPodcast.com on who you think will win on a fight to the death. Of course, it's all up to you. Go there, vote on the poll for the ultimate chick fight. So that ends the show. For our final segment, we have Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, where we close up the show each week with a musical selection of one of the host choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. This week, enjoy a great song that is Elena's pick. Elena, go for it.
I chose Missing Persons 1 and 2 because it just seems like one of those songs, you know, that's very Hunger Games-y. It's very, like, mysterious and suspenseful, sort of. And not exactly suspenseful, but it's just a really awesome song, too. And so that's by One Republic. And yeah.
You do like your One Republic.
Yeah, I know. I'm not very good at choosing rock song.
Sounds suspenseful.
Sounds like suspenseful. I don't know.
Sounds like a no, it sounds like a movie title. All right. That does it, everyone. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr, and you can stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast. Of course, discuss with other listeners in the comments at our site, and contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. I want to stress, we haven't really done like a special plug for this, but the iTunes. If you're wondering, how can I help out Rebellion Radio in a really substantial way? Leave us an iTunes review, like type one out. That one really helps. That gets us up there on the iTunes charts, therefore more people listen, therefore everyone is happy. So, yeah, if there's one thing you do after the show, that would be the one. And, yes, thank you all very much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
Fight the Capitol, end the hunger, join the rebellion. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 20 for April 19th. That's the wrong date. Okay. Okay. Imagine we're off on a good start.
Because I know that... Oh, you talk to Camille. You go talk to her. I don't care. You.
Elena's Camille. Family did this segment that always returns.
That should be a new segment.
Camille, take her out. Okay.
We have a special extended segment this week.
Yes.
So yeah, Battle Royale.
What was I saying? I was saying...
So, this week we have a fight between... Alright, let's decide. Who is it going to be?
No, why did you ask
Let's decide right now. Okay.
We never do this beforehand.
Yeah, we
Not
always
once.
Doing it.